Okay, we're starting here on the top of Samach Dalet Amud Aleph, about 10 lines down. The Gemara here is discussing Rabbi Yehuda's opinion from the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Afa Tamid, that not only is the din of Lo Tishkat HaChametz Dab Tzibchi applicable to the Korban HaPesach, it's also applicable to the Korban HaTamid. My time with the Rabbi Yehuda. What's the reasoning behind Rabbi Yehuda's position? Amar Lecha, because it says, Lo Tishkat HaChametz Dab Tzibchi, Zebach HaMyuchadi, Umayinihu Tamid. So here it uses possessive form of zivchi, my personal zevach. What is that, my personal zevach? That's the one that is miyuchad, that's unique, the special one. And which one is that special korban that's brought on a daily basis? That's the korban atamid. So Rabbi Yehuda applies zivchi not only to the zevach of the korban apesach, but zivchi means mine, Hashem is speaking, and says it's my zevach, which is my zevach. So Rabbi Yehuda interprets that to be the korban ha-tamid. Rabbi Shimon Omer, apesach be'arba asar. My time de Rabbi Shimon. What is the reason behind Rabbi Shimon's opinion, which is, on Erev HaPesach, the only korban that is affected by the din Lo Tishkat HaChametz Dam Zivchi is the korban HaPesach. Whereas, on Pesach itself, any korban that is kasher is affected by the din of Lo Tishkat HaChametz Dam Zivchi. Dichtiv, because the Pasuk says, Zivchi, Zivchi, Trei Zimne. Now the Pasuk doesn't say Zivchi twice, but rather, the Pasuk is mentioned twice. This pasuk is mentioned once in Mishpatim and another time again in Parshat Ki Tisa. It's a series of three psukim that are mentioned three times in the Torah, which end with Lo Tevashel Gedi B'Chalev Imo. That may be the most familiar of the psukim. In two of those occasions, it says Lo Tishkat HaChametz Dam Zivchi. That's both in Parshat Mishpatim and in Parshat Ki Tisa. So he says Karibei Zevach and Zivchai. He says divide it up. Why does it say Zivchi Zivchi? It didn't need to say it in both locations. Rather, take the two yuds, combine them together. So in one place it'll say, Lo Tishkat HaChametz Dam Zevach. That's one. The other place it'll say, Lo Tishkat HaChametz Dam Zivchai. So now, based on that, my Hilchata, Palginu Rachmanim Adodi, why did the Torah divide them up? Lo Ktiv, and didn't read Zivchai. Memra, the Bizman Dika Zevach, Lo Mechayev Azivchai. When you have the Zevach referring to the Korban of Pesach, then there's no din of Zivchai, which is the other Zvachim. My zvachim in plural, those are not affected when there is a zevach, when there is a korban pesach. Bizman the leka zevach, when there's no din of korban pesach, michayev a zivchai, then you're chayav and all other karbanot. So therefore, on arbasar, on erev a pesach, you have a din only with regards to korban pesach, because that's the day of zevach. Since that's the day of zevach, then zivchai is not applicable, so no other korban is affected by the din of lo tishkat achametz dam zivchi. On the other hand, on Pesach itself, where Korban HaPesach is invalid, it has no meaning on Korban HaPesach, then, since Zevach is not applicable, then Zivchai is applicable, which is all my other Zvachim are affected by the din of Lo Tishkat HaChametz Dam Zivchi, and that is the reasoning behind his position. Okay, next part of the Gemara. And it says, then, Umu'ed Lishmo Patur, if on Pesach itself he does it the same Pesach, according to Rabbi Shimon, he's Patur, because it's a shechita shein riyah. You bring it the same korban pesach, a pesach, the same korban pesach on chol hamoed or on yom tov. It has no meaning because you can't bring a korban pesach on pesach itself. So time dishalo lishmo. That is only if he does it shalo lishmo. If he does it lo lishem pesach, then it works because then you have a kosher korban, a pesach that on pesach itself, after the time of pesach has passed, do it lo lishem pesach, then you turn it into a shlamim. Turn it into a shlamim, that's fine, because we know motar pesach shlamim. The leftovers from a pesach are a shlamim. Ha stama. But what you would infer from here is that had he said nothing, the default status would be that he is patur. But why would the default status be that he's patur? Amai. Pesach v'shayi motar shana shlamim avi. Pesach for the remainder of the year is a shlamim. So why would the default status be that if he brings the Korban HaPesach on Pesach itself, after the Zman of Korban HaPesach, I mean on Pesach itself, why is it that the default status is that it's a Pesach? Why isn't the default status now become that it's a Shlamim? Because you can't bring a Pesach after Pesach. But that's exactly what it sounds like from our Mishnah, that only if you say Shalom Lishmo does it work. But if you don't say anything, then you're going to be put to work because it's an invalid Korban. Shma Mino. Then from this you would conclude, Pesach B'Shayim Otishna by Yakira. That Pesach for the rest of the year requires Akira, meaning that even after Pesach, Pesach still has a default status of a Pesach, and you have to actively remove that status from it. You have to say, is L'shem Shlamim. You can't just leave it and say, I'm bringing it, and it's automatically a Shlamim. Rather, you have to actively remove the name. Now, Rashi claims that this statement in the Gemara is, Bayakira, is a question. It's very hard to read the Gemara that way. But the Gemara is not so happy about this because we do have a Shaila in the Gemara as to whether Pesach v'shayim mot ha'shana requires akira or does not require akira. Does it require that the shame Pesach be taken away from it? Because the default is to remain a Pesach until you remove the name from it. Or is the default status that it's automatically a shlamim? Once you're past Pesach, Pesach isn't relevant anymore. So Pesach v'shayim mot ha'shana automatically becomes a shlamim. For our Mishnah, you would conclude that it does not automatically become a shlamim. Its default status is not a shlamim, but rather, you have to remove the Shem Pesach from it. So the Gemara is not so happy about that, only because then we have a conclusion to that question, and then we have a Mishnah that tells us the answer, and we didn't have that. We queried this question, posed the question, and we didn't have an answer to it necessarily. So Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Gamda, Nizrukam Ipi HaChabura, was thrown out from amongst the learners in the Beit HaMidrash, Ramro, Ron Shayu Balim Tamei Meit. It's a case here where the owners of the Karmen of Pesach were Tamei Meit. Then what happens to a Tamei Meit on Pesach Rishon? Nidachim, the Pesach Sheni. They get pushed back to Pesach Sheni. In that case, Stamei Lushon Pesach Koi. Then it changes the nature of the default status of this item. Because this Korban, when he didn't bring it on Pesach Rishon, still has relevance to being a Korban Pesach because he can now bring it on Pesach Sheni. For a normal person, after Pesach, he's already done with his Korban of Pesach. Then his default status should be either Shlamim or Pesach. We're not sure. But our Mishnah won't tell us any information about that. What our Mishnah does tell us is if the person who on Pesach Rishon has his Korban of Pesach, now it's on Pesach. You know why he still has his Pesach? Because he didn't bring it on Pesach Rishon. That means that he's going to bring it on Pesach Sheni. That type of Korban, you're right. Everybody agrees, it's Tama. The default is that it's for a Korban Pesach. Because he's still Chayav to bring a Korban of Pesach in Iyar. Because of that, that's the default status. So that's what our Mishnah is speaking about. And from that, you cannot prove anything about the Stam Korban HaPesach, the default Korban HaPesach, when you have brought your Korban HaPesach on Erev Pesach, and now you're just left with a Motar Pesach, what's the din? There we don't know. Whether you have to be Oker the Shame, or is it automatically that the default is that it's a Shlamim? So we don't have any conclusion from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is speaking about that unique case, where he is Chayav Pesach Sheni, and therefore the default status of the Pesach remains Pesach according to everyone, because it's relevant to the Korban Pesach that he's going to bring in Iyar. I just note here that the Tosafot brings from the Beit Tam that he doesn't like the Girsa of Rashi, because the way our Gemara reads is that the reason it says Shlo Lishmo is that he is Chayav. But if he doesn't say Shlo Lishmo, the default is Patur. And all those types of cases, the Mishnah also says if he does it Lishmo, then he's Chayav. Then the inference from that would be that if he didn't do a lishmo, that he would be patur. That means that the Mishnah has a diok out of it to both directions, which is that the default is patur and the default is chayav. It's not conclusive from the Mishnah. Therefore, Tosafot says, Rabbeinu Tam, but ain't any real Rabbeinu Tam. Ta'ikal meidak mereisha ipha. You could have come to the same conclusion because one time it says lishmo, one time it says lo lishmo. That means the Mishnah does not address the default status, and if it doesn't address the default status, then you don't have any conclusion from the Mishnah. Begaris Rabbeinu Tam Hochi. Rabbeinu Tam had a different gears in the Gemara. Lishmo amai patur. When he does it lishem Pesach, why is he patur? Shlamim lishem Pesach kashachit. It's automatically now a shlamim. It's after Pesach, it's automatically a shlamim. Now when you bring a shlamim lishem Pesach, what's the problem? That's shalom lishem, that we have no problem. Any other korban that's not brought lishmo is a kosher korban. So what that he brought a shlamim lishem Pesach? That's totally fine. Shmamina by Akira. The proof from this is that you need Akira, because otherwise, the Pesach would automatically be a Shlamim, and you bring a Shlamim, the Shem Pesach, it should be kosher. On the other hand, if you think that a Pesach, after Pesach, still retains a Shem Pesach, now you have a problem. Because you have Pesach, the Shem Pesach, on Pesach, then you have a problem. Then you have a Korban that is completely invalid. So what you prove here is from the fact that it says Lishmo is Patur, that we're still dealing with the Pesach. Because if it was really a Shlamim already, then Lishmo would have no bearing. Because the fact that you change a Shlamim into a Pesach is totally fine. Shlamim that's brought Lishem Pesach is Shlo Lishmo. Shlo Lishmo by all Karmanot is fine, except for Pesach and Chatat. The fact that it says Lishmo is Patur tells us that this remains as a Korban HaPesach. Well, if it remains as a Korban HaPesach, then it's telling us that you need Akira to get rid of the Shem Pesach. So that's the way the Rabbeinu Tam reads our Gemara. I mean that the Diok is differently. It's from the fact that it says Lishmo is Amai Patur, not like Argyris in our Gemara, which is Delo Lishmo Hastama Patur. It's the Diok, which the Rabbeinu Tam says you can make just the opposite Diok from this next line in the, or from the previous line in the Mishnah. Alright, now we move on to the Mishnah, which tells us about the Korban HaPesach in the Mikdash. Pesach Nishchat B'Shlosh Kitot. Pesach is brought in three groupings in the Mikdash. Ne'emar, V'Shachatu Oto Kol HaKa'al Adat Yisrael. Kehal, Ve'eda, the Israel. They have three different words describing the multitudes here. We have Kahal, Eda, and Israel. Therefore, we have three different groups that bring the Korban HaPesach. There was rotation. They had one group, second group, third group that brought the Korban HaPesach. Nichnasa kat rishona. The first group goes in. Nitmal'aha azara. Azara was full of people then. Nalu dotot azara. They locked up the doors. The azara, they closed the doors. Taku'u, hariu, v'taku. They blew it. Tkia, shua, tkia. Kohanim omdim shurot shurot. The Kohanim are in lines, fire lines, between the place where they shech the Korban HaPesach to the Mizbeach. We're going to put the dam onto the Mizbeach. Ubiyadehem bazichei kesef ubazichei zav. And they have these utensils, receptacles that do the Kabbalat Adam. Some of them were silver, some of them were gold. Shura shukula kesef kesef. The line that is with silver has to be all silver. Shura shukula zav zav. The line that is gold is all gold. I mean that they don't switch, you don't have mixtures of them. The line, one fire line is all silver, one fire line is all gold to keep it consistent, and we'll see why in the Gemara. Lo ayu me'uravim. They were not mixed together. Lo ayu lebazichim shulayim. These receptacles had no base to them. We're afraid that if he has a base, shemi yinuchum v'karesh adam. What we're worried about is that if they have a base, he'll put it down accidentally, he'll put it down for a second, and then the blood will coagulate, and you won't be able to put it onto the mizbeach. So in order to prevent you from being able to put it down, they force you to have a narrow bottom, a pointed bottom, so that you can't put it down. The only way to do it is either you hold it or you give it to the next person, but there's no way to place it down without the blood spilling out. Shachat Israel. And Israel does the Shechita on the Korban HaPesach. V'kibel ha-Kohen. And then the Kohen does Kabbalat Adam. Notno l'chaveiro. Then he passes it to his friend. V'chaveiro l'chaveiro. And so on and so forth down the fire line. U'mekabela tamale. Each individual on the fire first accepts the one that's full of dam. U'makzira t'reikan. And then afterwards passes back the one that is empty. So he first deals with the one on the way to the Mizbeach. And then he passes back the one that is empty that was coming back the other way. Kohen akarov mizbeach. The Kohen who's the closest to mizbeach, zorko zrika achat. He does one throw onto the mizbeach. Keneged ha-yisod has to be an area or location mizbeach where there is a yisod, which is on the northern side and on the western side. Yatzta kat rishona. Then that first group leaves. Nichnasa kat shniya. Then the second group comes in. Yatzta shniya. The second group goes out. Nichnasa shlishit. And the third group comes out. Maaseh rishona. Kach maaseh shniya v'shlishit. The way that the first ones did it, so too they did it for the second and third grouping that came. Now this is for all the groups. Karu et ha-halel. While the Korban HaPesach was going on, they read the Hallel during the process of bringing the Korban HaPesach. As Tosafot points out over here, it's Levim that are reading the Hallel, not the people. It's part of the Shira in the Mikdash. Now, what's interesting here, Tosafot raises the question, which we're going to get to in the 10th parak as well, which is, Ein Shira al-Ayayin. Shira in the Mikdash is only done when there is wine involved. It's part of the reason that the Hashbam brings for why we do Kiddush al-Ayayin, because Ein Shira al-Ayayin. So that is because it's Mesameach Elukim Vanashim, because it makes man and God happy, because you have the wine libations, plus you have the fact that it's an intoxicating beverage. So therefore, it's good for man, it's good for God. And therefore, Shira is said over the Yayin. So over here, you don't have any Yayin. So why are you singing Shira? So Tosafot differentiate. He says, when you're bringing a Korban, and there is going to be Yayin, then the only proper time to sing Shira is Al HaYayin. But in locations where there's no involvement in terms of Akravah and the Mizbeach, then the Shira can be said even outside of Yayin. So he brings other examples of this, where there is Shira in the Mikdash, independent of Yayin. It's just when you're going to bring like the Korban Tamid, and now you have a choice of when to say the Shira, you're going to do it under the wine libations. So you're going to do it at that point. But in any other circumstance where there's a need for Shira, it doesn't necessarily have to be directly connected to the Yayin. Now, Im Gamru, if they finish the Hallel, Shanu, they said Hallel again. Vim Shanu, if they finish it a second time, Shilshu, they did it a third time. There was never a point in time where they got through three Hallels. They never had to do Hallel three times because of the number of Kohanim that were there. It was expeditious. They were able to get it and finish it before the Levim got through their third set of Hallel. Zrashi says, this isn't even in the first Hallel. For that third grouping that came in, the last group, were basically the procrastinators. They were so few that they didn't even give it in the first Hallel. They didn't get to Ahavti Ki Yishma because there were so few of them, they were to be done in a very quick manner. Ipnei, Shama Mutayim, because there's so few people there, because everybody wanted to get in early, they didn't want to go in so late. K'maseu b'chol, kach maseu b'shabbat. The way you do it on a weekday is the same way that they do it on a Shabbat. I mean, there's no difference for Shabbat because the Pesach is doche et Shabbat. Ella, this is one difference. Shokanim, adichim et azra, shlo brinson chachamim. The Kohanim rinse out basically the floor of the Ezra against the will of the Chachamim. We're worried about Shema Yishaveh Gumot, worried about him clanging out the floor, even though the floor in the Mikdash is made out of Shaish, is made out of stone, so you really don't have that issue inside the Mikdash. Nevertheless, there might be a Gzeret Chachamim. They wanted to stay in place because they didn't want people sweeping and mopping on Shabbat. What they used to do is they had the water that came into the Mikdash. There was a water channel that came from Ein Etam. They brought a spring through an aqueduct all the way from Ein Etam to the Mikdash. Ein Etam was higher than the Mikdash. So that allowed for the natural course of gravity to bring the water even over the mountains through to Yerushalayim to the Mikdash. And then that water channel, once it entered into Mikdash, flowed through the Mikdash in what they call the Amat HaMayim. And then it left to go out to the Kidron Valley out the other side. And we have today, you can, in the southern excavations, they have the drainage line that's going out to the Kidron Valley. And then on the other side of the Mikdash, you have the entrance line, which is coming in, the aqueducts that came across, that went across the bridge from the area of the city, what they call the new city, or the upper city of Yerushalayim, and came into the Mikdash itself. So you can see both aspects of this. But the water came in. What they used to do, they plugged the outline. They plugged the drainage system. When they plugged the drainage system, the floor flooded. So when they flooded, what they'd do is to flood the Ezara, and then that would take all everything that was on the floor and wash it.
Basically
a sponge. They did a squeegee, and they pushed it all back into the element, opened up the plug, and everything drains out again. So that's how they cleaned it. So they did this on Shabbos, even though the Chachamim were not so into that. This is the Gemara we'll get to later on, but he says at the end of all the carbon at Pesach, they go take a cup, and from all the blood that's on the floor, they take a cup worth of all that blood. So, and just in case, they put it on the Mizbech. The fear here is that there was dam that fell from one of the carbon at Pesach and didn't get to the Mizbech. Rabbi Yehuda has a shita, and we'll get this. Rabbi Yehuda is whether dam is mevatel dam. Can dam wipe out other dam? And based on that shita, will allow you whether you can put this on the mizbeach and make a difference, or it's irrelevant because the dam doesn't really exist anymore. So that's a machloke between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, which we'll get to in the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda says you can do it, place it on the mizbeach. V'holo hodulo Chachamim. The Chachamim disagree. Ketza tolina mafshitin. How did they flay the animal? Also barzel. There were these metal hooks. Ayukvim bekotalim. They were up on the boards. Umamudim shembehen, and they were sitting on top of these smaller tables or stools. Mikdash, they had these boards upright in a vertical way that hooks on them. And they hooked up the animal to that in order to flay it. And that they turned it upside down with the head towards the ground, the feet up at the top, they hooked it in by the knee. That's how they did in their day flaying, not even in the Mikdash, period. That's how you flayed an animal, how you opened it up. So, tolinu mafshitin. They hang it up, and they have sheit. Anybody who doesn't have a place to hang it up and do the hafshata, the flaying, Maklot dakim v'chalakim. They had these thin rods there that were stripped. Ayusham miniach haktefo v'katef chaveiro. You put on your shoulder and your friend's shoulder opposite you. Toleh mafshit. Then you hang the animal on that bar between you. You hang it up based on that bar, and then you do the hafshit between you. That way you hold the bar with one hand and you flay with the other hand with the space that's between you and your friend. Rebbezer Omer yudalid shchaliot b'Shabbat. In a case where every Pesach falls out on Shabbat, miniach yado haktef chaveiro. That we don't allow you to do that with the rods because it's too much. Like the original malacha, we want you to do a shinoi. So rather, you put your arm on your friend's shoulder, and your friend, and your friend puts his arm on you, and you hang it between your arms, and then you use your other hand to do the hefshet between you. So then what do? You open up the inside, you take out the innards, the fats that have to go to the mizbeach, then you put them into a receptacle, into a large metal pot, and then you place them on the mizbech. Now this is talking about still in the case where it's brought on Shabbat. Or Pesach is Shabbat. The first cut goes out, Yeshvalo b'harabait. They go and sit on harabait. Shnia b'chel. The second group sits in the chel, which is the area outside of the Ezrat Nashim, but inside of the Sorev, which is an area which they delineated in Beit Sheni where non-Jews were not allowed to pass. It was the last location where non-Jews were allowed to. After that, they were not allowed in. That was the chel and the Sorev. So that area is where the second group sat. The remainder stay in the Azara. Chashecha, it fell dark, meaning Motzei Shabbat came in, Yatzu b'tzalu et pischem, they go out and roast their Pesach. The problem being that Shechita, the Karban Pesach, is Doche Shabbat. But that's it. The roasting of the Karban Pesach is not Doche Shabbat, and neither is carrying it back home to take it home. So they had to remain on Har Abayit after they did Shechita. So they had to, by groups, they had to go out. The first group stays on Har Abayit, but further out, the second group stays in the Chel, and then the third group is still in the Azara, and then everybody clears out on Motzei Shabbat to go roast their Korban Pesach when it's Yom Tov already, and they can carry it, and they can roast it. They walked. They can walk. So you didn't have that problem. You don't carry it. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Ein HaPesach Nishkat Ela Begimel Kitot. Pesach can only be done in three groups. So shloshim, shloshim b'nei adam. And each group has to be a minimum of 30 people. What's the reason for that? My time up. Kahal, veda, v'Yisrael. Like our Mishnah told us, we have these three words that mean multitudes. Misfekalan. We have some sort of uncertainty or ambiguity about it. Ibavat achat. Does that mean that you need a kahal, veda, Yisrael in one shot? Which would indicate you need 10, 10, and 10, or 30 people in one shot. Or is it telling you you need a kahal, then an eda, then a Yisrael, and you need 10, 10, and then 10. So we're uncertain as to whether the Torah is demanding that you have 30 people inside of the grouping, or that you have three groups of 10. So in order to solve that problem, we are accomplishing both of them. We have three groups of 30. That way each group in itself has 30. Plus we have three groupings, so we accomplish both possible meanings of the pasuk. If you do it in one shot, ha'ika, we have it, because you have 30 people. If you think you need three different groupings, ha'ika, we also have that. Hilkach, b'chamshim namisagyo. Therefore, truthfully, you only need 50 people to accomplish this. Dial to Latin, v'avde, because 30 go in and do it. V'ayli asarav, v'nafki asarav, 10 go out. Ayli asarav, v'nafki asarav, 10 more go in and 10 more go out. Rashi explains it this way, and it's not so simple what Rashi says. Rashi says that the first 30 come in and do their Korban HaPesach. They finish their Korban HaPesach. 10 of them leave. A new 10 come in. The new 10 come in, then do their Korban HaPesach with their 20 that remain there. Then an additional 10 leave and a new 10 come in. What you see from Rashi is that the demand for 30 here is not you have 30 people that are doing the Korban HaPesach. You simply need the presence of 30 people because the first group of 30 already brought their Korban HaPesach. And then we say 10 of them go out and then you bring in the new 10. And the new 10 do their Korban HaPesach, but the other 20 have already done their Korban HaPesach. So according to Rashi, it's just the presence of those individuals that's important, not the fact that they need to do the Korban HaPesach. Now that's not so simple. The Rabbeinu Hanano has an interesting way of explaining it, which makes it a little easier. But he says the first 30 come in, and then 10 of them do their Korban HaPesach. Only 10. Then 10 of them leave, those 10 that did their Korban HaPesach, and an additional 10 come in, and now a new 10 do their Korban HaPesach. Then those 10 that did the Korban HaPesach leave, and the last 10 come in, and then all 30 of them do the Korban HaPesach. The difference being that with the Rabbeinu Hanano, you always have people that are in the process of going to do their Korban HaPesach. They have yet to do their Korban HaPesach. So opposed to Rashi, where you only have the presence of individuals who have already accomplished the Korban HaPesach. Over here, according to Rabbeinu Hanano, you have the presence of individuals who need to do their Korban HaPesach. And that might be different. Again, the fact that they need to do their Korban HaPesach might make them more likely to be a part of a grouping that is there, or the demand for the pasuk. So he has, a different way of explaining it, slightly nuanced, but I think it makes a big difference in the explanation of whether they have to just be present, or they just have to be individuals who are coming to do their Korban HaPesach. Nichtesakat vishona itmar abayamar nina lutnan. That the doors closed. Rav amar noalim tnan. That they closed the doors. May benayu, ikmanado mismach anisa, whether they were somech alanes. Abayamar nina lutnan. That the doors closed. Kamad ailu malu. We just kept letting people into the Azara. Samchina Nisa. And then we wait for the doors to close by themselves. The doors of the Azara shut by themselves. So how do you know how to limit how many people are coming in? If everybody comes in the first group, then there'll be nobody left for the second and third group. So do we have to limit it, or does it happen by itself? Bayi thinks that the Mishnah says Nin Alu, which means that the doors close by themselves. You let people in the first group till the Azara doors close by themselves. So we don't stop anybody until the doors close. Rav Amar Noalim Tanan, that they were actively closed by us. Lo Samchina Nisa. We're not so mech on the nes that if everybody comes in, then we're going to definitely have people left over. Therefore, we close the doors and ensure that there are people left over for the second kat and for the third kat. Vatzad Tanan. What about our Mishnah? I'm Rabbi Yehuda. It's a Mishnah in Idit. It says, Chash v'shalom shekavya ben Menalel nitnada. That it's no way that a kavya ben Menalel was put into nidoy, was put into excommunication. Shein azara nin elet al kol adam shev Yisrael. The azara did not close. And any individual who is so, bechokhma, birat chait, and wisdom, and fear of heaven, kakavya ben mehel. There, the Mishnah Ediot is dealing with a circumstance in which they gave a gioret, the mesota. And so the question is, did they really give it to? Because the pasuk, we could argue from the pasuk, that a gioret does not drink mesota. So over there, there's a statement made in the Mishnah that, they did it dugma. They gave her a fake. And the reason they did it is because the din at that time was Shmai Vavtalion. Shmai Vavtalion were converts. So they didn't want to offend the converts, so they gave her to drink. So the commissioner there, they said they put him into nidui for saying something like that. How could you demean Shmaya Baptalion and say that because of the converts, they did something that was against the halacha, and they favored a convert. So therefore, they said about a kavya ben Hallel. Rabbi Yehuda says about that, that was definitely not a kavya ben Hallel, because there's no way they put excommunicated him, because he's such a unique and distinguished individual. Right? The taster is not as relevant as the fact that it says Ein Azarat Nin Elet. Alkol Adam Yisrael was never closed on Israel. Bai Mitaretz Tamei, Rova Mitaretz Tamei. Bai and Rova both answer according to their way. Bai Mitaretz Tamei, Ein Bazara B'Shat Shinin Elet Alkol Adam Yisrael. In the Azarat, there was nobody there when the doors of the Azarat closed on the people of Israel. So he explains it as being that the doors closed by themselves. And when they closed by themselves, nobody was in there of the stature of Akav Yabim and Halel. Rava Matarit Slemitameh. Rava explains according to his reasoning. There was no one in the Azara when they closed the doors on that first Kat. So they both explained that Mishnah from Ediot, the Lashon of the Mishnah, they put in as either whether it was Nin Elet or Noalu. Again, similar to our Mishnah, where the Girsa and the Mishnah will depend on what your opinion is as to whether the doors closed by themselves or were closed by the Kohanim. Tarabanam. Me'olam lo nitma'ich adam ba'azara chutz mi'pesach echad. Nobody was ever crushed or trampled as a ra, except for one Pesach. Shayabi me Hilel. In the time of Hilel, Shnemeich bo zaken echad, there was one elderly man that was trampled or crushed. The Korean oto, Pesach Muchin. They used to call it the crushed Pesach, or the trampled or stampede Pesach. Tarabanan, Pamachabikesh Agrippas Amach Litenina Buchusei Israel. He wanted to get a sense of how many people came up for Pesach. He wanted to get a count on them. So Amar Ale, the Kohen Gadol, says the Kohen Gadol, Tenenecha bepsachim. Count the psachim. So Natan Kulya Mikol Echad, he took a kidney from each one of them. Sham Shishim Ribo Zugei Krayot. They ended up with 600,000 pairs of krayot, of kidneys, which means that there were actually 1.2 million people bringing Karbanei Pesach. Kiflaim Kiyotze Mitzrayim, double the number of people that left Mitzrayim. Chutz Mitamei Ushayab Derchuka, this excludes people that were Tamei and Derchuka were going to bring Pesach Sheni. And that, like Fred said, in the Pesach u'Pesach shelo nimnu alav yoter mi'asara bnei adam. And there was a minimum of 10 people that joined to Chaburash Pesach. So that means there were 12 million people coming up to Yerushalayim for Pesach. Pesach mi'uvin. They used to call it the thick Pesach, meaning the heavy-duty Pesach, because that was the Pesach that had so many people over there. Natal kulya, how do you take a kidney from each Pesach? Habayu aktura. You have to put that on Mizbech. That's part of the fats that go on the Mizbech. How they collect the kidneys. The other maktir lehu, after they collected all of them, they put them on the mizbeach. Vakti viktiro, shalei of chalavav shalzeh bezeh. Doesn't say viktiro individually or independently, means that you have to take the fats from each korban separately. How do you put all the kidneys on together? You can't do that. The other maktir lehu chadachada, they dropped each kidney on one at a time. It's a long process, but they did, they dropped each kidney independently. Vatanya viktiram. There it says, Victor, Victoram, Aguin Izbecha. But here they place it on the Mizbeach, Victoram in the plural, which is, Shehei Kulechad, that all the fats have to be brought together. Meaning that the kidney has to go with the rest of the fats of the animal. El Tzfisa Ba'alma, the Shakal Minayu. They took something, Adjavin Le Midachrina. They held the kidney until they gave them something else to place it so they can make the count. So they just held the kidneys in abeyance until they got something to count the individual. Then they gave them back and they put them in with the rest of the chalavim and they were makriv that on the mizbeah. So they just held it for a second to ensure that they got all the count. As soon as they got the count, they gave the kidney back and they put it on the mizbeah. Then the Gemara continues with the Mishnah, Kohanim Omdim Shirot Shirot, that they were standing in these fire lines and that they had Shirot, they were only gold, and Shirot, they were only kesef. My time. What was the reason for that? Ilei medimo shakli de dahavo, maile de kaspo. That maybe he's going to get an empty gold one, and then he's going to pick up a silver full one. Means that he's going to get passed back through the line as a gold empty one, and then he's going to pick up a silver one that's full. And we have a problem of Malin Bekodesh Vein Moridin. So he's going to end up having a gold utensil, and now he's going to replace this with a silver utensil. So Hachinami Dilmo Shakli Bar Maton Umayli Bar Meyo. So then how can you say that that's a chashash or suspicion that we have that this is going to be a problem? You have the same problem even within the internal category. Even if you do all gold or all silver, doesn't mean each one of them is worth the same amount. Some of them may be worth 200, some of them may be worth 100. So you could be passing a 100 off and picking up a 200, or the reverse. You could be passing off a 200 and picking up a 100. So you have the same problem of Malin Bekodesh Vein Moridin. El Dahachi Shapir Tfei. It's an aesthetic issue, and aesthetically it looks nicer to have a line of all silver, have a line of all gold. So we don't worry about this issue of Malin Bekodesh Vein Moridim. It's true that we prefer it to be that way, but in a case where you can't help it, because here one's worth 100, one's worth 200, but you're sending the empty one back, picking up the full one, there we're not going to worry about this Malin Bekodesh Vein Moridim. And so too, if it was gold and silver, we wouldn't worry about it. But aesthetically, it's nice to have a whole line of gold, and nice to have a whole line of silver, and not have them mixed up. Lo ayu da bazichim shulayim. The receptacles did not have any base to them. It's not unique to the receptacles for the Korban HaPesach. It's true of all of the bazichim in the Mikdash. The one exception to that rule were the cups or big spoons in which they kept the levona, the frankincense that went on the Shulchan. The Shulchan had the Lechem HaPanim on it. And then there were these two bazichei levona, these two receptacles of levona that were on the Shulchan that were brought on the Mizbeach every Shabbat in order to be matir the Lechem to the Kohanim. But they sat there all week long. Now those bazichim did have a base to them, because Shemi Nichum Vifros Alechem, because if they did not have a base to them, what ended up happening is that you'd place them on the Shulchan and they would tip over onto the Lechem HaPanim. And the Lechem HaPanim is made in such a way that it is a flat piece of bread with walls that come up on the sides. That's how they get panim. It was the equivalent of a open box. And so the walls of the dough are standing up on the side. Now, if these bazichei levonot fell over, they would crush the wall or knock it down and ruin the lechem apanim. In order to prevent that from happening, they would make sure that the bazichei levonot did have a base to them so they could sit on the shulchan and would not tip over. Otherwise, every other bazich was used for a kabbalat adam or for other items that were in the mikdash that they didn't want left around. So how do you prevent something being left around? You make sure it can't be placed down on the floor of the mikdash. So if it can't be placed down on the floor of the mikdash, then you have to either hold it or pass it to your friend. And that ensures that nothing would be left around unintentionally. It happens to be that in the yeshiva of Philadelphia, Rav Kamenetsky and Rav Eliot Zvei, when they built the yeshiva, decided that all surfaces in the Beit HaMidrash would be on a slant. There would be no straight surface or flat surfaces, so people could not pile up sfarim on the areas above the bookcases, above the shtenders. They were all on a slant, so that if you put it there, it would slide off. So they could leave this farim there. And they would be forced to put it back on the bookshelf. So it was very successful. Nobody leaves this farim on the tops, whether of the seats or of the tops of the bookcases, because they're all slanted. Instead, they put a seat down and they pile all this farim up on this seat. So as good as the intentions were, in the end, you still have to have people on board for it. But again, here in the Mikdash, the point was that they didn't have a base to them, so they could not be left standing. Shechat Yisrael v'kibel HaKohen. The Yisrael did the Shechita, and then the Kohen did the Kabbalah. Lo sagia de la Yisrael? Wait a minute. Why does a Yisrael have to do Shechita? What happens if a Kohen does Shechita? It should be fine. Where it says, Igufa Kamashlan. That in itself is what it's coming to teach us. The Shechita Bizar Ksheira. That Shechita by Azar is okay. Shechita is the only one of the Obedot in the Havata Korban that can be done either by a Kohen or by Yisrael. So in the Mishnah it says Yisrael did it to teach us that din, that Yisrael is allowed to do it, not that he has to do it. The Kibela Kohen, and then the Kohen does Kabbalah, HaKamashman, Mikabam, Allah, Be'ilach, Mitzvat Kuhuna. Tells us that the Kohen did Kabbalah, because from that point onward, only a Kohen can be involved in the Avodah, from the Kabbalat Adam, to the Olachat Adam, to the Zrikat Adam, or the Shvichat Adam, all of that has to be done by a Kohen. Notno lechaveiro, he passes the blood to his friend. Shmamino, Olacha, Shalo Beregel, Havi Olacha. Question in the Gemara and Zvachim, with regard to Olacha. Over here you have Kabbalat Adam, which is the receiving of the Dam from the Shechted Korban. Then you have it in the receptacle. The receptacle now has to be taken to the Mizbeach in order to do the Avodah with the Mizbeach. That's called Holachat Adam. Do you have to actually physically walk with the item? Or is it enough that you pass it from one to the next? And that's called Holacha. Holacha, does it involve moving of your legs and actually physically walking there? Or does it just mean the transport of the receptacle from where you are to the Mizbeach? So from our Mishnah, it sounds like you don't have to actually move. You can just pass it to your friend. Where it says, therefore, Shema Minah, that means that walking without actually moving your feet is considered to be walking, or movement, transporting the item without moving your feet is okay, because here we see that's what he's doing. Where it says, Dilmahu Naid Burta. How do you know? Maybe he shuffles his feet. He moves his feet a little bit. Person did Kabbalat Adam, walks two steps over and hands it to his friend, and then they keep passing it down. So there's actually some physical halacha as well. And maybe that's how we accomplish it. Elamaika Mashmalan. So then what is it teaching us, that he passed it to his friend and his friend to his friend? I mean, what's the significance of having these fire lines? The answer is, HaKamashlam Berov Am Hadrat Melech, that the more people that are involved in the mitzvah, the greater the glory to the king. So this principle comes up in a number of times. Rashi over here particularly says, Sheyu Kulam Asukim Ba'avodah. It's not sufficient that people are present. People have to be engaged in the mitzvah. And the more people that are engaged in the mitzvah, the greater the glory of the king. And so over here, if all the Kohanim are involved by making these fire lines, you have more people involved in the process, more people touch it, that's a greater glory to the king. This comes up with certain mitzvot as well, where in general we say Barovam Hadrat Melech, especially with Kriyat HaMegillah, where a person has a choice to be in an air location where there are more people, less people, they would say, Barov HaMadrid Melech, it's better to go a place with more people, same with davening in a shul. Again, there are mitigating factors that set that with regards to noise, the quality of tefillah, and so on and so forth. But we do have this principle of Rav HaMadrid Melech that the larger the multitude that's accomplishing the mitzvah and working together to a singular goal, the greater the glory of the king, the greater the kiddush Hashem. Kivelet amalei umachzir tarani, accepts the full utensil receptacle, and then he passes back the empty one. Aveip chalo, the reverse is not the case, you can't do it. Misayle b'shim en lakish, this helps Reish Lakish's position. Dam Reish Lakish, ein mavirin ala mitzvot. Now allowed to pass up an opportunity to do a mitzvot. As Rashi says, Din marvim a mitzvah me'achar shabbat yado. Once a mitzvah comes to your hand, you must do that mitzvah. So over here, the mitzvah involved is getting the blood to the mizbeach to do the zrikat adam or the shrikat adam on the mizbeach. The returning of the receptacle, the empty receptacle, is basically a hechsher mitzvah. It allows them now to put in the next korban and to move forward. So in that case, when you have an option of which of them to deal first, you're going to deal with the mitzvah first. You're going to deal with taking the full one first, and then only afterwards will you receive or pass on the empty one. So you must engage with the mitzvah first, because that's the most important. We don't pass up a mitzvah. We don't give up an opportunity to do a mitzvah, and we therefore take the full one, and then afterwards pass off the empty one. This does have halakhic ramifications, including the tefillin when you put them on in the morning and your talit. You should set them up in your talit bag and in your tefillin bag so that when you go in to get them, that you don't pass by one of them. That if you go to pick up your talit, you're not passing your tefillin to get to your talit. If you're going to take out your shel yad, you don't pass your shel rosh to get to your shel yad. So it should be set up in such a manner that in mavrin al mitzvot, it comes up with the lighting of the Hanukkah candles as well. If you're going to light the Hanukkah candles, we start lighting from the quote-unquote new candle that's put in there. So you should stand in a position that your lighting engages that candle first. If you're starting too far, standing too far to the right, and you're going to have to pass all the other candles to get that one, that might be a problem in mavrin al mitzvot. So it comes up in numerous places in halacha that we try, when you are engaged in mitzvah, you come to a mitzvah, that you don't pass up the mitzvah. So you have to situate yourself or the objects of the mitzvah so that you get to the mitzvah and you engage with it, you don't pass it up, you don't let it go by. The kohen that's next to the mizbeach, mantana pesach bizrika. In our Mishnah, it says that once the kohen by the mizbeach takes it and is zorek, throws it onto the mizbeach. But that is not so clear, because it's not clear what we have to do with the dam of the korban pesach. In Pesach Mitzrayim, the Torah tells us what you have to do with the dam of the korban pesach, as you put on the doorposts, on the mashkof. Tells us what to do with the dam. When it comes to the Pesach Dorot, the Torah never tells us how to deal with the dam of the Korban HaPesach. We have in Sefer Vayikra all the Korbanot, and there's instructions about what to do with the dam. Whether it's the Zrikah, it's Matan Be'etzba, the Torah gives us the information. With regards to Korban HaPesach, the Torah does not give us the information, and therefore it's subject to Machloket based on the Drusha that you have from the Torah. There are two options to the Drusha. We're going to have one of them right now, and we'll explain the other one afterwards. Which is, now the Gemara says that this position, our Mishnah, must be authored by whom? That says, Zrika Tadam is what you do with the blood of the Korban HaPesach. Must be the position of Rabbi Yosef Aglili. Tanya, we have a bright, Rabbi Yosef Aglili, et damam tizrok al mizbeach, v'chalbam taktir. This is talking about the Korban of a Bechor. It's a Bechor that is given to the Kohen. A Bechor Tam that's given to Kohen is put on the Mizbeach, and then the Kohen gets the Pasar from it. If it has a Bechor Balmum, then the Kohen gets to keep it. Now, about the Bechor, it says in the Pasuk in plural, Et Damam Tizrok al Mizbeach, their blood in the plural will be put on the Mizbeach, Et Chalbam, their fats will be placed, or Mukrav al Mizbeach. So why is it said in plural? You could answer, and that's the way the position that opposes Rabbi Yosef Galili answers, it means that all the Bechorot, all the different bechorot, you put their dam on the mizbeach, and you put their cham, their chelav, their fats on the mizbeach. But the way that Rabbi Yosef Aglili reads it is, damolo ne'amar, it doesn't say the dam of the bechor, but rather el damam in plural. Chobolo ne'amar doesn't say its fat, but rather the fats in plural. Li made al bechor umaser pesach. Bechor and maser pesach have the same din with regards to their status as korbanot. You say ezu mekoman every morning, that's the last of the mishnayot, and ezu mekoman is a bechor and maser pesach. They're all found in the same category. So now, what he suggests over here, Rabbi Yosef Aglili says it's written in plural as a remez to tell you that the din of Bechor also applies to the Maser Behema and to the Korban HaPesach. Shedein tuni matan damim. They require blood to get to the Mizbeach. Ve'murim legav Mizbeach, and their fats go on the Mizbeach. So therefore, just like over there, it says tizrok al Mizbeach, that would be zorek if they throw it on the Mizbeach. So too by Pesach, that'll be the case. So your two options are, and this is one of the options, one is that you do zrikata dam, the dam in the receptacle is then thrown towards the mizbeach. You don't take it with your finger, but rather you shoot it out of the receptacle towards the mizbeach and hits the wall of the mizbeach and then drips down to the yisod. Where you do it is anywhere along the mizbeach that has a yisod. That is true on the western side of the mizbeach. That's true on the northern side of the mizbeach. And then from the western side, one amma in on the southern side. And on the eastern side, one amma in from the northern side also has yisod. So any of those areas, if you put the dam on the wall of mizbeach, that suffices because it drops down to the mizbeach. And that's what it says. In Ezum Mekumana, Bechorma Maser HaPesach, Kodshim Kalim, Shkutadan, Bechom HaKom HaZarav, Damuton Matana Achat. Require one Matana, Keneged HaYisod, opposite the Yisod, meaning on a place on the Mizbeach that's by the Yisod. How you put it on the wall of Mizbeach, that's the question. Over here, Rabbi Yosef Galili says, Zrika. You shoot it out of the receptacle towards the wall, similar to what you do with other Karmanot. Each time she in our body need more Matanot, but the same idea that you shoot it or throw it out of the receptacle by pushing the receptacle and the blood shoots out towards the Mizbeach. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Galili, and that seems to be what's supported by our Mishnah. The alternative opinion is that it's shvicha, that it has to be poured onto the Mizbeach, and that's based on Rabbi Shmuel's opinion, because he learns it out, midam zvachecha yishafech, that the dam zvachim be poured onto the Mizbeach. So that would teach us that the dam is placed on as shvicha, poured, and not zorek, and not thrown onto the Mizbeach. So that's the machloket, whether it's done zrika or shvicha. Over here for our Mishnah, it seems like it's done through zrika. It means that our Mishnah is authored or support to that position of Rabbi Yossi HaGilili. Now, the Gemara asks the other thing, Minel on to Tunim Yisod. How do you know that the dam that's put on the Mizbeach for the Korban Pesach requires it to be a sod, the base of the Mizbeach be protruding out in those areas? Amar Rabbi Elazar, Atya Zrika Zrika Meola. If Xer Zhava from Zrika of Ola to the Zrika here that's found by Tizrok ala Mizbeach. Tivach et damam Tizrok. Over here it says that you have to put their damam ala Mizbeach. Tivach tam hu b'nei Aron ha-Kohanim et damam Mizbeach Saviv. That they throw the Mizbeach Saviv. That's the Saviv means Shtayim Shein Arba. You throw at two of the corners. You put it on the southwestern corner as well as the northeastern corner. You throw the blood from the receptacle into that corner and it splits to the two sides. So that's how you get Saviv. All sides of Mizbeach now are hit by Dam. It says over there, Damam Mizbeach Saviv. Ma Ola Tuna Yisod. Just like Ola requires Yisod, Pesach Tuna Yisod. So to Pesach requires Yisod. All those Korbanot that are mentioned in a Damam Tizrok, which is the Bechor, the Maaser, and the Pesach. But now, first of all we prove from the Ola, the Pesach that we brought before, is that it's Zrika. So the Zrika by Ola, we learn out the Zrika for Bechor, Maaser, and Pesach from it. But how do we know Ola Gufa Minolan? How do you know that the Ola requires that be done in a place where there is a Yisod? Amarakra, Yisod, Mizbach HaOlah. Had it be done. This is by the Korban Chatat of the Nasi, the Seir HaNasi. It says that it's put on the place, a Yisod, Mizbach HaOlah. To the place of the Yisod, which is on the Mizbeach HaOlah. Mizbeach HaOlah is the outer Mizbeach, the Mizbeach HaChatzer. But it calls it the Mizbach HaOlah. It could have just said, El Yisod HaMizbeach. Why does it call it Mizbach HaOlah? Why is it associated with the Olah? Alma Olah Tuna Yisod. It comes to associate or correlate between the Korban Olah and Yisod HaMizbeach. So, just like the Olah requires it be done in a place that's put on the Mizbeach, in a place where there is a Yisod. Right before, that's the southwestern corner where the Yisod is along the whole western side and a little bit into the southern side, as well as along the northeastern side where there is Yisod along the whole northern side, and then an Amma into the eastern side. That's where the Dam is placed for the Olah, because there's a Yisod below over there. So, over the Korban Pesach, which doesn't require Shtein Chaim, Shein Arba, requires one Zrika towards the Mizbeach, that Zrika has to be done in a location where there is a Yisod. So anywhere along the western side or the northern side of the Mizbeach would be sufficient for the Korban Pesach, the Maser Behema, and the Bechor, and we learn that out from the Ola. Okay, we'll stop over here.